As stated a few moments ago, the text is the gospel reading for this day, the discourse of Jesus actually on the coming, the second coming of himself to this world. It's coming in what has been called Judgment Day, often referred to as Judgment Day, pictured by Jesus more as a day of vindication for his followers, for his church. A well-known discourse of Jesus, actually, we've discussed it many times in many different places here. This is the last Sunday of the church year, and as always, the emphasis in the readings, that's why this reading today, and some of the others for today, have a focus on that second coming, on the end of time. That's kind of the theme for today. It's not a popular theme either amongst those who are within the church. It's a theme that they would rather ignore, because to talk about the end of time, the second coming of Jesus, refers to them either to their own death, their own particular end of time, which indeed it does, but ultimately that day when Jesus calls a halt to the proceedings of this earth of God's creation, when he comes again to vindicate his church. Not many like to think about that, about their demise, the end of all things. And therefore, no, it isn't a popular thing. And it's a particularly scary thing, too, for many, because of that ominous picture, and it is a rather ominous picture in the book of Revelation, of all the nations from all times and all places being gathered before the throne of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and that, as John calls it in the book of Revelation, the book of life being opened. And those whose names are written therein receive heaven. Those whose names are omitted are condemned. And that's a frightening picture for many when they stop and think about it, because nothing can be done now. What if my name isn't there? Oh, it's a regular knee-knocking experience and thought for many people. God looking through the book line by line to see if your name is there. No wonder people shudder and don't want to think about it. But if we listen to Jesus here, when he himself, with his own words, tells us exactly what's going to happen on that day when he comes again, much of the fear, much of the fright is removed from that day. He, first of all, is the one who's coming again. Not someone we don't know, but he's coming again. And who is he? He's our Savior. He's the one who we can each attest to time and time and time again during our lifetime upon the earth, has shown mercy and pity. And we know he has. We know it's him. Especially in those particularly uneasy situations when all of a sudden things seem to work out. That's who's coming again. He is. No one else. Last week, I believe it was, we sang, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," a favorite hymn of everyone's. Listen to those words. What a friend. There's a friend coming who has been away. That's who's coming. And if that does not alleviate some of our fears, if not all of them, well, then very simply listening to Jesus will. You'll notice that the judgment takes place immediately. The very first thing he says he's going to do is separate the sheep from the goats, the righteous from the unrighteous, the believers from the unbelievers. That's the very first thing that's going to take place. And then Jesus is going to give his reasons why he made the separation that he did. There's not going to be any waiting. It's done. First thing. And then Jesus tells us the reasons. I was hungry. You heard them. I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink, etc., etc. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the very conception of the world. And to those on his left, I was hungry. You didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty. You didn't give me anything to drink. In other words, your life was so self-absorbed, you couldn't see me in anyone else. Depart from me. There is the verdict. But the interesting thing to note here, and I brought this out just a couple months ago in our studies, the interesting thing to note here is that to the righteous, to the believers, Jesus does not one time list any of the omissions, any of those times when they passed by the hungry, any of those times when they passed by the thirsty. He doesn't even mention those. And my, that is of great comfort. Because I know when I stand before my Lord on that last day, he is not going to stand there and say to me, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that and you didn't do the other thing. What he is going to say is you did this. You showed your faith here. Come. Enter the kingdom. Whereas to the unrighteous, that's all he says. Nope, my omissions will never be mentioned, will never be looked at. Why? Because an individual is saved by grace through faith alone. Not by what they do or by what they don't do, but by grace through faith alone. And those deeds that are done in faith in our Savior, because we just know that that's what our Lord wishes us to do, are the only things our Lord is going to see. And they're the only things our Lord is going to mention on that last day. It is as if by faith, my misdeeds are blocked from his sight. And oh my, what a great comfort that is to know that I'm not going to stand there with knocking knees wondering. But my Lord is going to make known that faith which saves. And that lack of faith which damns and is characterized by a life of total and complete selfishness. We have a friend coming. We have an in, if you will, with the judge. And we know when this friend comes, he's not going to look at every bad thing I did. Doesn't even see them. He only sees those acts of faith which were done in his name. Fear? Fright? No, not really. I got a friend coming, and he's only going to look at my faith. Amen.